You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. I am now rejoined by my beautiful wife, Tammy Haldeman. I didn't think you were going to make it in today, Tammy.
I wasn't sure either.
I'm happy you're here, though.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here today.
So we had interesting scenarios in the office. So in the mortgage industry, a question we're asked a lot is how much down payment should somebody put down? And the answer to this question can determine someone's future on how they end up financially for many, many years to come. And there are a lot of conflicting opinions out there. I think depending on how aggressive somebody is, mm-hmm. how debt averse they are, a lot of different scenarios like that come up. And we get this question a lot. I had a scenario this week that was really common where someone was selling their home in Washington, Missouri, and it's free and clear, and it's not even on the market yet. They want to move back to St. Charles County because that's where they live for a lot of their life and have a lot of friends there, and they really want to pay cash for the next house. So common scenario that people want to do that, but is it the best move? What do you think, Tammy? Your opinion may have changed about this over the years.
I think there's so many variables in a person's life, but I think now with understanding why credit's important, why to have that cash flow, having cash available cash, I guess is what I'm trying to say, is as my parents have gotten older, they have that ability to have that cash available now because they've kept a mortgage, they've kept that going, so their monthly expenses, and then they can tap into the equity that they've had also. So playing that game of knowing how much money you should keep as, you know, to do as a down payment, how much cash you should have available on hand, like it's really important to consider all areas of your life, like your future. You do have to think in the future a little bit. Everybody says think in the present, but you got to think a little bit in the future too. So,
okay. So when it comes to how much to put down, that's
the question.
It is a great question. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that I can give one answer on the air that's going to cover everybody because I don't think that would be fair. I think that would be a little bit too much of a broad statement blanket. So here are a couple scenarios. So first thing is when people sell a house and want to buy another, there's this tendency to want to roll all the equity from the previous home into the new house.
Right.
That's a very, very common thing. So even if they can't pay cash for it, they want to roll all that equity in. Mm-hmm. Well, first off, there's no real benefit to putting more than 20% down.
Okay? True.
It doesn't change your taxes. It doesn't change your insurance. Putting more than 20% down will lower your payment.
I was going to say that would be the one benefit is to lower your payment and your interest rate, depending on what your interest rate, that borrowed money.
Okay. So, right. So if you could pay cash for it, then you're going to avoid the interest on a mortgage. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's say somebody's buying a $400,000 house and they could put $300,000 down and take out a $100,000 mortgage, or maybe put $100,000 down and take out a $300,000 mortgage. Well, you're actually going to get a better interest rate on the $300,000 mortgage than a $100,000 loan.
Yeah, that's a scenario people probably don't really think about. And not to mention the tax write-off that you can get. The interest.
Yeah, so we'll get into that in just a minute, mm-hmm. because that's really, it's definitely very important that somebody has to consider as a tax write-off. So why do you get a better interest rate on a larger loan? Well, there's certain money that's baked into the pricing on mortgages where they can afford to give a better interest rate on a $300,000 loan than a $100,000 loan. And you get below $100,000 and the rates will go up with almost any lender out there. And it's counterintuitive. I don't think that most people think about that.
Nope.
So putting more than 20% down is rarely advantageous. I'll say that. And now let's go through, you know, should somebody pay cash for a property? Okay, here are some of the reasons why not to pay cash. Okay, first thing is you'll be tying up a lot of money in one asset class. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you think about diversifying your portfolio, typically, depending on your age, you're going to have some money in stocks, some money in bonds. You might have some money in REITs, you know, real estate investment trust, have some money in cash. You can have some money in actual real estate. But that's a lot of money in one asset class when you pay cash for a home.
Mm-hmm. And we've had financial planner friends that have give their advice to their clients that think of your home as a place to live rather than an investment. And that's really where you have to come back and think about, what am I doing? Where am I putting my money in? Am I getting the best return on investment at that point?
Right. When you talk about return on investment, that's actually the next reason, is that you lose the financial leverage that a mortgage provides. Okay, so when you look at the return on investment on a property, the return on investment is a return on how much money you've put into it. Okay, mm-hmm. So let's just use an example that if you buy a $300,000 home, okay, and it's risen in value by $100,000 over time, and now it's worth $400,000 eventually. Okay, if you paid cash for that home, your return would be a 33% return on investment. Mm-hmm. Okay, but if you had put 20% down and borrowed the remaining 80%, there your return on investment would be 166% on the money that you had into it.
Right.
Okay, that's a big deal, and people really shouldn't downplay that.
Right.
Go ahead, Dan.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
All right, so,
good.
I'm on a roll here.
Good
so
stuff.
I'm gonna,
yeah.
So I'm gonna
no,
keep
it's
going.
Good.
All right, so the next thing, and this can't be understated, is you'll sacrifice liquidity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, once you put all that money down, it's very difficult to get it back. And just remember that banks loan money to people that don't need it.
Okay? That seems
banks
so
will weird. Loan you the umbrella, but when it rains, they want it back.
True.
So frequently when people get in a situation where now they need access to those funds, they can't qualify anymore. Mm-hmm. They've lost their job. They've retired.
Yes, that's a good point. And you've had that come up a lot.
I've had it come up many, many times. So I mm-hmm. like... Your liquidity is really big to me because you don't know what's going to come up. I sleep much better at night when I know I have access to large pools of money.
Right. And this is the other thing too. And I've heard you counsel people like buying too much of a house, knowing what their budget is and being, what did they say? House poor, meaning all the money's going to the house. I love how you coach people if they're willing to listen. Understanding that down payment and not becoming house poor and having that liquidity, I think it's super important.
Well, people will put they'll pay cash for a home because they're conservative.
Uh-huh.
And
but then
they want to stay
happens.
Away from debt. Well, it's actually more conservative to take out a mortgage in many cases and keep access to your cash. Mm-hmm. All right.
It seems like there's, because we're in the business of mortgages, that's the advice, of course, we would give. But it really, when it comes down to it, it makes sense about, just thinking of that liquidity of what you may need, because you don't know what you might need in the future.
Yeah. So here's the last major point about why not to pay cash. Why not to pay cash is the tax deduction. Okay. So think about this, is that the tax deductibility of mortgage interest only applies on acquisition indebtedness. Okay. What that means is whatever money you borrow when you buy a home. Okay, so buy that $400,000 house, and let's say you take out a $300,000 mortgage. Okay, well, only that $300,000 is what's tax deductible. Okay, if you pay cash for it and take money out later, only up to $100,000 of that can be tax deductible. So $100,000 in home equity. So you could have acquisition indebtedness of $300,000, and then you could take out a home equity line later for another $100,000, and all be deductible if you want. Okay. But if you pay cash for the house and take cash out later, only $100,000 is going to be tax deductible. And frequently, accountants don't ever even ask the question on whether it was acquisition indebtedness or not. But if you get audited, they're going to throw out that deduction.
Right. That's true. That's a very valid and good point.
Mm-hmm. You can just join us. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're talking about how much down payment to put down. If you're in a situation where you want advice in this area, definitely reach out to me, because I coach a lot of people through selling a house and buying another, and what's the best scenario. And of course, I'd love to do your mortgage, but even if I don't do your mortgage, I'd still be happy to give you advice either on the phone or in person. So reach out to me. You can text me or call me at 314-472-DOUG. That's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684, the numbers for it. So reach out, and I'll give you advice on your personal situation too. So you had another question.
Yeah, I was just going to say, now that we've got the reasons why, how much do you recommend a person put down on their home?
Okay, so if you have 20% to put down, of course, that's the perfect amount.
Mm-hmm.
if you have 20% to put down. Now, the majority of homebuyers out there do not have 20% to put down.
What about first-time homebuyers?
Well, so first-time homebuyers, because the question becomes, because like I have some first-time homebuyers that they actually have $20,000 that they could put down, and they want to buy a house that's about $225,000. They could put almost 10% down. Is it worth it to do that for them? So in most cases, it's not for a first-time homebuyer. So if you don't have 20%, there's not a lot of incentive to put more money down. And actually, these folks only have a 670 credit score. So with the 670 credit score, they're not going to get the best interest rate on a conventional loan, which is very credit score driven. But on an FHA loan, they're going to get a fantastic interest rate. So taking out an FHA loan and putting 3.5% down, that's the incentive right there. Is if you put 3.5% down on an FHA loan, that's enough. There's no major incentive for putting more than that. The private mortgage insurance goes down slightly if you go from 3.5% up to 5%, but it's not a massive difference.
Okay.
So, and if we look at this, and I can put a chart on our website too, because if you look at a sample of a 30-year fixed rate mortgage on a $250,000 purchase price, we can show in a chart how if you put 3% down versus 10%, 20%,
the gain of that.
All the way up to 22% down, how does it change your payment? Well, it definitely changes your payment some, but it's not going to change your taxes or insurance. Okay, your private mortgage insurance may change some on those. But there's another chart when you look at appreciation on a property. Okay, let's take that $250,000 property and we go out 10 years from now. If it appreciates even at 3% per year, which is a pretty conservative number, that $250,000 property now goes up to $337,338. Okay, so from 250 to 337, that is a very, very large gain on your investment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, when you're talking about almost $90,000 gain over the next 10 years.
And that's with what down payment?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't actually
matter.
We're simply talking about a $250,000
house. Initial investment.
Your home will appreciate the same rate no matter how much you put down.
Right.
So in this case, most of the equity that you have comes from appreciation, not from paying down the mortgage. That's okay. The part that's counterintuitive when people look at it. So you're going to have a bigger return on investment with the lower amount of money you put down. Keep the rest of your money leveraged in a higher interest rate return. So
Right. Here's
the last point I want to make before we go to break. Okay, I want you guys to think about the fact that everything in life is 100% borrowed. Okay, I'm going to say that one more time, is everything in life is 100% borrowed. And what I mean by that is you either are paying interest to somebody else in the form of a mortgage, credit cards, car loans, or you're giving up interest on what you could earn. Okay, so that same money you might use to pay cash for a house or to put down on a house, if you put it in the market, because let's say you have a 4% mortgage, after tax deduction, it's probably the equivalent of more like a 3% mortgage, a 3% interest rate. So if you're trying to compare it after tax deduction, okay, are there any investments where you can earn more than 3% return? And in most cases, the answer is yes. If you have a decent financial advisor, even a conservative portfolio is going to expect probably a 6% return or so. So if you do that and you invest that money, now you're earning what's called arbitrage. And that's where you borrow money at one interest rate and you invest it at a higher rate and you keep that difference. And here's the thing is that it's what banks do every single day, but banks are never going to give you the advice to do what they do. It's just do what they say. And I want you right now to be smart with your money. Okay. And if you want to see some of these points and some of these numbers, visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com and you'll be able to see some of these numbers. And I can walk through your personal scenario and we'll figure out a way for you to earn arbitrage too. So best way, if you want a personal consultation in your scenario, is call me or text me at 314-472-3684. So 472-DOUG is the easy memory hook on that one. But reach out. We can set up an appointment, set up a time to talk early this week. Coming up, do you know a recent college graduate? Well, you're going to learn the top 10 tips they will need to be smart with their money. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.